Fantasy freaks and geeks, what is up? It's the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here alongside Adam Rank, MG, Marcus Grant is in the house, and the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. Actually, behind the glass today, I'm a little thrown off by it, not going to lie to you.
Yeah, well, it happened once the season hits, and we're doing this at odd hours of the day, and resources are stretched thin across all of NFL media.
How dare they?
I was informed by Shadowy League figures that I would not only have to participate on the podcast, but produce and edit it as well. So while the NFL is in training camp, I figured I'd get some training camp action right now and be good to go.
I like the Shadowy League figures. That reminds me of Adam Rank for some reason.
Why?
That's right. Throwing it out there.
That's not nice. I don't care for that at all.
You'll like it and you'll take it.
Okay.
Sir. All right, let's get right into it, huh? We got a busy day here. Obviously, it's the top headlines for today, and the number one the story in the NFL on this Tuesday. Fire off that sounder there, Gelhar.
I was waiting.
Everybody talking about it around the league. Geno Smith out 6 to 10 weeks after backup defensive player I.K. Enumpali punched Geno and broke his jaw. This was announced today by first-year head coach Todd Bowles. He described the blow as a sucker punch and that the incident, quote, had nothing to do with football. It was something very childish. Enumpali was then quickly released by the team. Sounds like it may have been money-related. It's a crazy story, man. Geno Smith just got sucker punched, and he's out. He's like Kanye West through the wire, baby. He's got his jaw broken.
Pretty much.
Get it.
It worked out well for him.
Should work out just as well for Geno Smith, right?
Should be, yeah.
So now apparently
– going to go out. There's a Kardashian available still, too.
The story now is that it was over basically $600.
That's crazy.
This is according to several sources, including our own Ian Rappaport.
Oh, this is crazy.
$600.
Wasn't wow. It was like a plane ticket.
A plane
right?
ticket, essentially.
I'm on IK's side. pay the money.
It's not that Geno wasn't going to pay. He just hadn't paid yet.
Well, that's what happens.
By the way, I got a great tweet. I wish I had it pulled up, but I got a great tweet from somebody. And it was actually directed towards myself, Adam, and Marcus. A very concerned podcast listener said, at Marcus Grant, at Marcus G., I hope your broken jaw does not get in the way of the fantasy podcast today.
I got a lot of similar themed tweets and text messages asking what I might have done to have somebody come and punch me in the jaw.
It's fantastic.
For those who have never seen, hopefully if you watched Fantasy Live or looked at Marcus Mug on the website, he bears a striking resemblance to Geno Smith.
Striking,
so I've been told.
Resemblance. Oh, by the way,
I don't see it.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. by the way, sign up your team, or better yet, sign up your league right now. Go to the website, NFL.com/fantasy. Sign up for fantasy football right now. We got mock drafts. We've got great information, a free draft kit that you can download, all that good stuff, NFL.com/fantasy. Sign up for a team today, or better yet, sign up your league. All right, so we know that Geno Smith out, a couple months here. What does that mean for position guys like Eric Decker, Brandon Marshall, Chris Ivory, and that entire train wreck that is the Jets' backfield?
For me, it always came down to Chan Gailey and the players who have flourished in his offense previously. And I look at a guy like Brandon Marshall, who
you love.
I do, sort of, but he's one of those guys who just, it seems like he's overbearing on a quarterback. Like, dude, you always got to look my way. He's like the coworker you just have to placate all the time. Like, all right, like, make sure, I got to make sure we're going to Smashburger. Make sure Brandon Marshall knows we're going. We're going to hear about it forever. And it seems like every quarterback gets locked into having to throw it to him all the time. Like, Jay Cutler was having a great time of his life until he got reunited with Brandon Marshall and had to throw it to him every single time he went back and dropped back. And I anticipated Geno Smith to do it. I anticipate Ryan Fitzpatrick having to do it, unless he's got like some sort of Harvard Jedi mind trick that's going to get him out of it.
You know, by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick did go to Harvard. I don't know if you
heard. Wow.
You know, Rank, I think that's probably why Brandon Marshall tweeted after the Geno news came out that, like, crying emoji.
The single tear
because
emoji.
He's like, man, all those trips to Smashburger are wasted now. I have to start over again with Fitzpatrick.
That's like a lot of work. Like, you know, like you're dating a young lady or something.
Okay.
You're putting in a lot of time.
Well, weren't they living together, too?
No, speaking they did of, spend a yeah, lot of spent, the like, off-season working on routes and timing and all that.
I was going out with a girl named Beulah McGillicuddy when I was in college. Putting in a lot of groundwork, and all of a sudden she transfers to Cal, courtship's over.
Ah, well.
And it's a similar type, well.
Like many smart individuals, they would choose California Berkeley over Adam Rank. That's
well, who wouldn't?
But, Marcus, what's your take on this, man? I kind of see it as a situation where, all right, Fitzpatrick, maybe not necessarily a downgrade at the quarterback position, but that being said, I think it will embolden defenses to stack the box more, and it possibly could, you know, impact negatively the run game for the Jets.
Maybe. I mean, I would say good luck. I don't know. I feel like this is a lateral move from a quarterback spot. I mean, I don't have any intentions of moving Brandon Marshall one way or another in my rankings. I'm not moving Eric Decker one way or another in my rankings. And I mean, we've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick have, you know, flashes of very good throughout his career.
He was a danger zone special.
Like, I don't want to say flashes of brilliance, but flashes of very good throughout his career, and he can get the ball.
He had
downfield.
A six touchdown game last season.
Nick Foles has a six touchdown.
Okay,
game,
all right, fair.
You know, so, but
seven.
Right,
yeah, the same week I picked the Raiders as a sleeper defense.
So, oh,
yeah. But you know, I think he'll be fine. I think Fitzpatrick will be fine. I'm not drafting him. I think Brandon Marshall will be okay. I would draft him as like a low end wide receiver three sort of situation. I just don't see much change.
No impact.
Not really. I mean,
from a fantasy perspective,
Chan Gailey made Tyler Thigpen relevant for a few weeks. All right, he can do okay with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
How dare you, Alex Gelhar? I see you shaking your head.
I agree. It was the same thing. It's basically a lateral move. People were just excited for what Geno offered, could have offered under Chan Gailey. We know what Ryan Fitzpatrick offers under Chan Gailey. Like you said, you're not going to draft him. He could be somebody to stream, maybe a daily play. But all should still be well. They have the entire preseason to build up a rapport for those first couple weeks. I'm not worried.
All right.
More opportunity for Brandon Marshall to exert his will. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I like it. Running back Chris Johnson was offered a one-year deal by the Arizona Cardinals. That, according to an ESPN.com report, the team is said to be waiting to hear back from the artist formerly known as CJ2K. Why, you ask? Why would they reach out to Chris Johnson? Well, apparently both Andre Ellington and David Johnson are dealing with hamstring injuries. I would imagine this is much ado about nothing, at least from a fantasy perspective. Does anyone feel strongly about Chris Johnson either way?
Yes, I feel very strongly about not drafting him.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, we're moving.
Isn't that...
You had me concerned for a second.
No. We are moving on. All right, Hall of Fame game was last Sunday. Any takeaways for either the Vikings or the Steelers? I know we didn't get to see Adrian Peterson at all, but, man, I tell you what, I'll start it off. I was impressed by Teddy Bridgewater.
I like Teddy Bridgewater. I do. I think he has a chance to be a legit QB2 this year in a lot of leagues. He's a guy with good accuracy. I think his arm strength is underrated. Again, he wasn't a bad quarterback. He had a bad pro day, and everybody like ran away from him. But I think
wear the gloves, Teddy. Wear the dang gloves.
I mean, I guess I can tell you, I'm not drafting Sammy Coates because he couldn't catch a cold in the Hall of Fame game. So,
Rank, your takeaways for the Steelers, though.
Let me say one thing about Teddy Bridgewater,
please.
As a fantasy hipster,
yes,
I drink only double IPAs. And I've been starting Teddy Bridgewater since last season. He was the guy
barrel-aged double IPA?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Cherry wheat. One of those with a hint, the grapefruit's got to be added.
Citrus.
I agree.
The citrus.
If you don't have grapefruit, don't even bring it to the table.
Hey.
Like, some hooligan just tried to offer me like a basic IPA. I'm like, listen, unless there's a little bit of mango in there, don't even stop at the table.
I agree.
And that's how I feel about Teddy Bridgewater.
And that's did you make this analysis with skinny jeans on?
Well,
and a well manicured beard.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, it's a terrible beard. I had to shave it for television.
Of course.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
But I guess these would be considered skinny jeans.
Gelhar, I know you've been super high on Teddy. Do you see? I mean, look, Marcus says, okay, hey, look, he's going to be a reliable QB2. I think that kind of goes without saying, but can he be a QB1, low end?
That's going to depend on how the offense gels with all the pieces there. You know, he's going to have Adrian Peterson back for the first time. Is he still going to get is Teddy going to get his chances to throw? Wallace, everybody there. You got to see. It was looking good in, you know, the 8 snaps we saw in the Hall of Fame game when he marched the team right down.
Right.
I don't know if I'd put him into that QB1 status, but he could finish maybe top 12 area.
Man, I tell you what, he at least has the upside, I think.
Absolutely.
To be a very low-grade QB1. Go ahead, Rick.
Point of order, depending on how large your league is, I have Teddy Bridgewater as my number 11 quarterback.
In your ranking?
In our rankings.
Okay.
So he could potentially be a QB1.
You want to know who my number 12 is?
Please.
Peyton Manning.
Stop.
Woo. I would take Teddy Bridgewater over Peyton Manning.
Stop it.
What is – where do you get this? Where in the rank brain does this rattle around?
Well, what I like to do is watch football and analyze it.
Okay. Shocking concept.
I like to look into the future.
All right.
Now, listen, let me tell you guys, if you're playing in a fantasy football league where you're getting points based on 2007 statistics, Peyton Manning, actually, that was the year after they
just
Super Bowl.
Give me the reason why Peyton Manning is ranked lower than Teddy Bridgewater. What's wrong with you?
I think the time has come. If you saw Peyton Manning at the end of last season.
Okay.
And he looked terrible anytime he had to throw more than 20 passes in a game.
Are you worried about injury here?
Injury, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, people are like, well, he's injured. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens when you turn 40. You get didn't you even see that movie? Like, that's what happens when you turn 40. You get injured walking to the bathroom. Like, it does. That's what happens. And you're playing a very violent sport. And also, too, I think it warrants mentioning, with this scrutiny on the PSI levels of football.
Oh, boy.
How is that going to impact? Peyton Manning was the guy who
co-authored
that legislation with Tom Brady. And you mean to tell me that he is not a control freak about the inflation levels of his football? I think it's more probable than not.
We're going to come up with some kind of challenge here. You saying statements like that, Peyton Manning ranked lower than Teddy Britt. We got to come up with some kind of challenge.
I'm only basing this on fantasy points.
Well, yes.
And that Teddy Bridgewater will score more.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead. Yeah, we're going to come up with something. We're going to come up with something. We are going to come up with something.
If you watched Peyton Manning at the end of last season,
right?
What did you see to where you're like, you know what? I have all the confidence in the world that he's going to rebound.
Well, he's got better weapons. Let's start there. His wide receivers are better. I won't say his running back is better. That's probably
But he had those guys at the end of last year and was not good.
But he apparently was injured.
According to fantasy.
If he comes back healthy, I think he's got a great chance. Now, will he be healthy? Look, I don't know. I mean, that's why I think he's going so late in drafts right now, because a lot of folks are worried that he's a high injury risk, which I get. But, boy, I tell you what, if he plays 16 games, I think it's a near impossibility that he scores less fantasy points than
Teddy. I think
the best
analogy for this is Brett Favre's final season with the Vikings.
Okay.
He had that magical run where he got them
to the
NFC Championship game and everything. And
he just got railed on by the Saints.
It catches up to him. That's a lot. That's a lot of football he's played. A lot of nagging injuries over the last couple of years.
All right, we're going to come up with something,
pal. I would just say this, and I would warn fantasy enthusiasts when you're doing your drafts, is like, you know what? It's hard to say goodbye to these guys. Guys who have been so good for you in fantasy football for many years. And Peyton Manning has been one of the best. But at some point, you got to look at it and be like, I got to turn the page. I got to be looking for this year. I got to see who is the up-and-coming guy. Teddy Bridgewater, at the end of last season, was a better fantasy football quarterback than Peyton Manning.
He was.
And now he's getting Adrian Peterson. Chuck Johnson is going to be an improvement, too. I'm going with the upside.
I like it.
I don't think I don't think it's outlandish.
Look, well, no, it is outlandish.
It's
you know me. I love being aggressive. I love being aggressive, but that's too aggressive for me.
It's a blind taste test.
Now here,
if you put their number, if you put the numbers from
Adam
the quarterbacks at the last at the end of the last season, you put them side by side, and you said pick the quarterback you'd want. Like, I want that guy.
Yes,
and you'd pull it up and be like, it's Teddy Bridgewater.
Hey, guess what? Geno Smith also on that list, Pat.
King of December.
I mean, come on. So, Gelhar, let's switch gears here a little bit. Steelers, any takeaways from the Steelers?
No, not really, because none of their starters played. So, all I know is that Landry Jones still has not thrown a touchdown pass in the preseason since, like, 2013.
Very good point. All right, let's move on. Browns running back coach put Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, and Duke Johnson on blast. Wilbert Montgomery, the running backs coach, telling Cleveland.com, quote, "It just bothers me that guys don't want to be the lead bell cow guy." Montgomery added that no one showed up in tip-top shape. What are we to make of these comments from a fantasy perspective, Marcus?
I think it's the coaching staff trying to light a fire under one of these guys. In fact, the latest story is that they are considering, not yet signing, but considering one Raymond Rice
no.
to come in to Cleveland.
No.
Yeah, story that recently just popped up before we started here on Around the NFL. Look, you know.
You mean the NFL Fantasy Live podcast?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I think right now this is just a case of trying to motivate one of these three guys to get going. I mean, I know with Johnson and West, those guys have been banged up a little bit. I know West has kind of been on thin ice for a while. So I'm not putting a lot of stock into it yet. But, I mean, it just goes back to the fact that – or the reason that I'm not big on any one of these guys just because you don't know who's going to be the guy on a week-to-week basis.
So, backstory here. When I first started at NFL Network, I wasn't officially listed off as the one of the hosts for Fantasy Live. But I do remember one of my very first interactions regarding fantasy was about the Cleveland backfield with no one else other than – Mr. Adam Rank, who was big on the Terrence West hype train.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a little tape, and then I saw a little tape of Isaiah Crowell. I said, nope, there's no chance that Terrence West is going to beat out this kid because Isaiah Crowell is just a much more explosive athlete. As the preseason kind of wore on, and I got to know Adam Rank a little bit better.
You understood.
I said, Rank, man, your boy Terrence West doesn't look too great. But he still stuck to his guns. He loved it. But then as the season wore on, obviously we saw the crow fly just a little bit. I know that Adam Rank is very tuned in to the Cleveland backfield. What is your takeaway from these three guys?
I'm not sure I like your tone right now. I might have been wrong about Terrence West.
Yes.
He was that's one of the problems with watching so much of this scouting combine, because where did Terrence West go? Went to Akron, or was it Kent or something like that? He's one of the
small school guys.
Towson.
Excuse me. There you go.
To all the fine listeners from Towson, I apologize. And looking at this, I have to believe that through all the smoke screens and through all the motivations,
yeah.
And Wilbert Montgomery's number 31 Eagles jersey is a cool hipster jersey, by the way.
I like my it. Dad.
But I feel like last year, Isaiah Crowell is going to be the guy who ends up emerging, ends up being that number one guy, and all of this will be for naught. They've got a nice little accumulation of some mid-card running backs, but the one who just screams of the upside and that guy who can take that job over. And this is, remember, this is a pretty good offensive line, and they've got some chances. I think it's going to be the Crow, and I'm not into Terrence West as much anymore. Still kind of have, you know, I was so bullish on him last year that there is still a little bit of investment that I would like to have that opportunity at some point to come out and be like, see, I told you guys. even though I've kind of backtracked now. And
Duke Johnson scares me, though.
The thing about Duke Johnson, and I don't know if I should be calling up, but one of the former players who walks the halls here, we were talking about it, and he flat out told me, like, I would not take a running back from the ACC.
Wow.
It's like, that's not a good football conference. And so that scares me. And I'm like, yeah, I
bold.
Guess. I'm like, all right, well.
Wow, bold.
So I'm like, okay. And I don't want to call it, but one of the guys who works here said that. I'm like, that makes sense. Like,
I'm really going back through my mental Rolodex.
I know. To come me up too.
I mean, CJ Spiller has had some.
I know.
Don't mention CJ Spiller.
I hate to be that guy, like, where you just are dismissive of, like, ah, it's Wisconsin running backs or anything like that. But at the same time, like, it.
So you're not scared.
But it's like, it's the competition level of things like that. But yeah, you know what's funny is doing a lot of mock drafts. And
which you can do on NFL.com right now, NFL.com/fantasy.
Boom.
You want it pumped in.
You know what you should go to Draft Pros. Have you used theirs? Can I not endorse them?
We should probably stick to our product.
Oh, for crying out loud. Listen.
Hey, it's my first day behind the glass, all right? I don't need more Shadowy League figures coming in here.
All right.
So Duke Johnson, maybe Adam Rank, not a big ACC running back guy. Let's talk about the NFC. These are your top NFC training camp battles to watch for, at least in regards to fantasy. And we'll start with Philadelphia. Eagles quarterback Sam Bradford versus Mark Sanchez. I'm going to start with MG here, our resident USC homer. Sanchito was, a viable fantasy quarterback last year under Chip Kelly. Sam Bradford, you got to think he's got a little bit more talent level than Mark Sanchez. Can Sam Bradford maybe under this Chip Kelly offense become a top 12 quarterback? Lukewarm response.
Well, yeah, I like Sam Bradford's ability. I like his talent. It's always an issue of can he stay healthy? Can you get, say, 12 to 14 games out of Sam Bradford? Because the offense is set up for him to succeed. I know that's been Chip Kelly's thing, is that he doesn't necessarily need stars. He just needs people who can play within that offense. Right. So, obviously, it's set up there. He's got the guys around him, whether it's Jordan Matthews, who I like a lot, Nelson Aguilar, who I think steps in and plays really well this year. You've got guys in the backfield with DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. There's so many reasons why he can.
A lot of weapons.
It's just a matter of can he stay on the field. But where he's coming off the board so late in drafts, it's really a nearly no-risk proposition. You get him for a really good draft price. If he succeeds, then you've got a gem on your roster. If he doesn't, you're not really out anything.
He's one of those guys where if you're playing an auction league draft, you got to get this guy. You're probably going to overspend on running back and overspend on wide receiver, maybe even overspend on tight end. But Sam Bradford is a guy in auction leagues where you can get him for a buck and just build the rest of your roster and just hope for the best. And we always see quarterbacks kind of pop up on the waiver wire anyways. And even if he doesn't pan out, as Marcus said, you've really risked nothing. And a guy who does have potential great upside.
Yeah, Rank and I were talking downstairs earlier today, too, and he threw out the idea of if you draft Tom Brady and wait out his suspension, Bradford's a great name to grab as your second quarterback to ride you through those first couple weeks. His first game is in the Georgia Dome against Atlanta in week one, which is just a juicy matchup on
Absolutely.
The turf with his track stars at wide receiver. Like, if he's going to light it up, he's probably going to throw down in that first week, and you can get a bunch of points and try and ride him or flip him for somebody else or pick somebody up for the waiver wire. Right, so I like Bradford this year.
Let's talk about the Dallas running back situation. It's it's a backfield that is obviously one of the most interesting training camp battles we're watching for. Joseph Randall recently dealing with an oblique problem. Darren McFadden has been in and out of practice with a bad hamstring. So those two guys aren't playing. Dallas still. Oh, yes, Gus Johnson, the undrafted free agent. Not the broadcaster.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gus Johnson.
The running back out of Stephen F. Austin and the beautiful Southland Conference. 5'10", 215. Ran an unbelievably slow 4.640.
Wow, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah, a little bit harsh. But
is that slow?
It's not good for a running back. No.
I was around a 4.5.
That's why you're
sitting here.
I was not training, though. I think I could have gotten that down.
No, I don't think you could have.
You really?
No.
Honestly?
Honestly.
I don't think that's
Can you
correct.
Just talk to me about this Cowboys depth chart here? Joseph Randall, Darren McFadden, or, a little bit of hype train building here? Choo-choo for Gus Johnson?
No. Don't do that. Don't. Let's not get carried away. We haven't even played, outside of the Hall of Fame game, we haven't played the first preseason game. And we didn't expect a lot out of Randall and McFadden early on. And McFadden's hamstring injury, of course, is a little bit of a problem because that's one of those nagging injuries that continue to just linger. And they don't really ever seem to go away. Every time somebody comes up with a hamstring injury, no matter what week it is, they're dealing with it all year.
And it's like –
especially running backs.
Yeah. It's that and the high ankle sprain. It's like if I see a hammy or a high ankle sprain, I'm like, this is going to be problems for the rest of the year.
That's the one.
All right, so who do you like in that mix there, Joe Randall or Darren McFadden?
I'm starting to get on board with Joey Randall, and then he goes out and hurts his oblique. But again, it's not a hamstring, and it's not the dreaded high ankle sprain. So you're like, all right, we'll kind of see how this goes. And when I'm doing my mock drafts and things of that nature, seeing Joey Randle there in about the fourth round, because my strategy is to go receiver, receiver, or receiver Gronk or something like that, and then you start picking up your running backs. And a lot of times I'll get Frank Gore or Mark Ingram in the third, and then Joey Randle sitting there in the fourth. And as an RB2, you're like, all right, with that offensive line, with that offense, and considering that I'm going to probably end up taking like 30 rookies.
Okay.
And that's the one thing. Is like,
you're hoping somebody pans out.
You need just one guy to pan out.
That's true. That's
wasn't there a point in the Experts League last year where you had like 9 running backs
absolutely
rostered,
yes,
of 16 positions?
I did that in that league and in my league of record. And in my league of record, I know for a fact I had C.J. Anderson, Jeremy Hill, and Justin Forsett.
It's a strange.
I also had Cordarrelle Patterson, so I don't want to injure myself
right,
patting myself on the back.
Yeah.
It's good to throw that in there.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not perfect. So, but again, the point is you just need one of those guys
to hit
to pan out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And with Gus Johnson, the thing is, like, with Randle nursing the oblique and McFadden being injured again, surprise, he's going to probably start for Dallas this weekend in the preseason. And
he
could
impress.
It's a lot of hype right now. Tony Romo was quoted with a piece this morning on NFL.com,
sure,
pumping him up. I read some other stuff from blogging the boys on SB Nation and things. What everybody likes about Johnson is his ability at the goal line. When he gets that carry, he goes in. So
there you
he
go.
Could have some ability to plow it in there. But we'll have to see. If this becomes more of a committee, as it might have been hinted at, and they don't just hand it to Randle, Johnson could be maybe like the Lendale White to Randle's CJ2K.
It's a little bit scary because Joe Randle really doesn't have the size of a prototypical every down back, and so that's what makes me kind of worried about drafting a high draft pick, spending a high draft pick on Joe Randle. If he's there in the sixth or seventh, I'd be okay.
No
I'll
chance
take
he's going to be there.
But that's what I'm saying. There's no chance he's going to be there in the sixth or seventh. Guys are so high on this Dallas O-line. In my opinion, he enters that undraftable zone for me because guys are drafting on the O-line. If it's a committee, and maybe the team as a whole puts up great numbers, but will any one of these individuals do it? I don't know.
So, serious question here, because we talk about the Dallas running backs, and everybody talks about that offensive line and how, you know, Joe Randle is going to be great. People even thinking, you know, Darren McFadden could have some life. Why is it then, similarly, when you look at what's going on in Philadelphia, where they have a very good offensive line for run blocking,
mm-hmm,
everybody downgrades DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews?
It's a great point. It's a great question.
Because that's a legitimate committee right there. And Darren Sproles is also in the mix. If DeMarco Murray was there with 3 curtain jerkers who weren't going to see the field, I would be all about it. But there's legitimate guys there who are going to take the football away from him, which pushes him down into the second round. I mean, I would love to get him in. I always hate when people do like, I'd love to get him in the third. Yeah, no kidding. I'd love to get him in the eighth round. You know, but like, it seems like he's realistically going to be drafted in the second round. But if you're there in the early third, you still have a little bit of hope that he's going to be there, which is because of the situation. I don't think it's a knock on him. Plus he carried the ball. I think if my mask read 800 times.
I think that's right.
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're about there. Adam Reich, I want to stay with you because you and I have been this is the new Cleveland backfield for you and I.
Okay.
Falcons backfield.
Right.
Tevin Coleman versus Devontae Freeman.
I've been flip-flopping on these guys, so it's not really.
No.
I had a stake in this situation.
Yeah.
Last year.
Right.
With Devontae Freeman.
Yes.
And when Devontae Freeman,
where are the John Cena shoes at? Where are they at?
Listen, they don't sell them in adult sizes. That's the problem. If there's not a cane, like you can't order them online. I would wear them. Although I think having to wear the red shoes, the red high heels, kind of negated all of that.
Good
which,
call.
By the way, like how did that even happen?
I don't.
How did
you get roped
how
in?
How did you?
I don't know how you got roped in.
We had the march to 1100. All
right.
Of a sudden, I'm walking around NFL fantasy live in high heels. Like, what is this?
I don't know. Give me your take on the Falcons running back situation. Who do you like in this battle here? Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman.
He's still a good running back, and he showed at the end of last season that if he was given the opportunity, he was good. Like, you watch the Falcons, and you're like, yeah, he's good. The only problem is, is his coaching staff is brand new.
Right.
And these guys aren't invested in Devontae Freeman.
Right.
They don't care. That's just a guy that they inherited, and they drafted Tevin Coleman. Mm-hmm. And if you watch Indiana football, he's a fine running back. He wasn't somebody who jumped out at, like, Amir Abdullah you're watching on Saturday morning going like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. I don't remember seeing I know I saw Indiana play at least twice. I don't remember coming away being like, I can't wait till Tevin Coleman.
If you missed one of Coleman's like home run hit, like 60-yard burst runs, then you didn't see anything special. Like you said, Amir, you saw every time he touched
every
the football.
It was crazy.
Like, whoa, look at this guy.
Part of it is that out here on the West Coast, generally Indiana plays in that 9 a.m. ESPN 2 time
which is amazing.
Slot.
That's my wheelhouse.
It's usually like it's reserved for either Indiana or Northwestern. Those are the two teams that occupy
that surprising amount of Northwestern games on the West Coast out here.
A lot of Chicago transplants.
Okay,
yeah,
there you
sense.
Go.
I'm going to wait. But this is the thing, because everybody we draft so late, it's like it affords us the opportunity to wait and see who's going to end up winning that job. I will take whoever wins that job.
Some peripherals on Tevin Coleman here. He ran for 2,000 yards last season, again, at the aforementioned Indiana. There's about seven people who watched him play. 2,000 yards at Indiana is a borderline miracle because the team was, I mean, awful. They were terrible. Tevin Coleman was smallish, but he's very explosive. He's 5'11", 205 pounds. At his pro day, man, he ran a 4.39 40. A 4.39.
That's fast.
That is ridiculous fast.
But does he truck people? That's the one thing. Like, is he one of those guys who's going to bounce off contact and continue to run? I mean, it's hard to tell. Plus, when he's not at, you know, one of the major conferences, you don't know how that's going to stack.
Oh, how dare you?
What?
That's the home of the national champions. How dare you?
Now, like, being from Big Ten country, I can say it's not what I would love it to be, even though I didn't go to a Big Ten school.
Really? Your coaches are leaving for Oregon State in the Big Ten, so let's not.
All right. Marcus, who do you like in that battle? Tevin Coleman to Devontae Freeman, man.
I'm staying with Devontae Freeman, maybe because I also was on the Jacquizz Rodgers bandwagon for oh so long, and I kept feeling like Devontae Freeman's going to be the new Jacquizz Rodgers, only better. So I'm not totally ready to jump off of that one just yet. Plus, you know, we talk all the time about teams bringing in running backs, especially guys who were drafted in the earlier rounds in the NFL draft, and not wanting to give up on them just yet. And I would be surprised if the Falcons gave up on Devontae Freeman just yet.
I'll tell you this, man. People ask me, why are you drafting quarterback so high? My strategy right now, and it's been no secret, quarterback high. I could tell you because nobody's going to do it, right? Except for me. I'm taking quarterback high. I need to get one of those elite wide receivers, one of those top five guys you know are going to put up 1,500 yards and 9 or 10 touchdowns. You got to get one of those guys. I want to get Luck or Rodgers. And Tevin Coleman is literally the reason why I'm doing that. Tevin Coleman is going later in drafts than I think he should. And not only that, he's got incredible upside to me. And he's one of just a few rookie running backs that I think have great upside. And to me, this particular year, it's a weird year because, like, there's so many high upside running backs, sleeper running backs, as I call them. I love David Johnson in Arizona. I like David Cobb in Tennessee.
You don't like him when Chris. You don't like him when Chris Johnson signs in Arizona.
That might be a good point. But again, there's a lot of upside running backs that I'm very, very interested in. Tevin Coleman leads the list for me. All right, let's talk about the Bears. Eddie Royal versus Kevin White versus Marquise Wilson. White dinged up right now. He hurt his shin. He's still on that pup list. Elliot Harrison told me after the show today, man, he's big on Eddie Royal. Where do you guys stand on the fence here? And Alex, we'll start with you.
Good choice. I've been coming around a lot on Eddie Royal this year. When they drafted Kevin White, I was more pumped for that. But then I realized they didn't pay Eddie Royal all that money to come and just sit on the bench. So I think he's going to thrive in that slot in the Chicago offense. And there's some. He's been surprisingly, like, you don't think of Eddie Royal. We always joke, like, he gets his two or three touchdowns in the beginning of the year and then he just disappears.
Yep.
He's been one of the more efficient receivers in the league the last couple of years. I was reading this article on NumberFire earlier today, and he had 158 receptions and 15 touchdowns on just 67% of the snaps the last 2 years in San Diego. So when he was on the field and getting targeted, he was very efficient. Kevin White is. That shin injury is not good. He's a big guy, but I think Eddie Royal is going to thrive in that shorter intermediate passing game that Adam Gase rolls out a lot. With Peyton Manning, a lot of his passes weren't traveling a lot of yards to start in the air. And I think that's where Eddie Royal is going to thrive for that offense.
I want to smash through a bunch of these real quick. Giants running back situation, Rashad Jennings, Andre Williams, Shane Vereen. Vereen ran for 400 yards last year, caught another 50 balls for another 450 through the air. He averaged 4.1 yards per carry, pretty good. He had 5 total touchdowns. He really makes this backfield, interesting, yes, but almost undraftable. Am I wrong in saying that, Marcus?
I was going to say, you were asking me what I thought, and I was going to give you a bleh. I mean, I do eventually think, and I said it on Inside Training Camp Live earlier on Tuesday, that I think long-term, Andre Williams becomes the guy in this backfield. But right now, between Williams and Jennings and Vereen, it's so much of a muddled mess that it really frightens me. If I'm picking one short-term, I'm actually probably picking Vereen just because I think he has that dual-threat ability. But right. Long-term, I think it's still going to be Andre Williams' backfield.
I think you might be right. The only problem is that Andre Williams really can't catch the ball.
He
hasn't, and he didn't show it in college, and he didn't show it in the pros. So it's certainly a battle we're watching for. Rank, I know very quickly, I know that you're really high on Vereen as well.
I like him a lot. I the offense that they run there with the Giants with the short passing game, they want Eli Manning to make high percentage throws. That leads me to believe that Vereen's going to be out there a lot. He's going to be out there more than you expect him. I know there's the people look at him as a third down back, but
he's got good upside.
In this version of the NFL, teams pass all the time, and he's going to be the guy you want on the field. And plus, the other two guys, I don't know that you can trust to be healthy for an entire season.
Plus, hashtag Cal running back. All right, Vikings wide receiver battle. Charles Johnson versus Cordero Patterson.
This is a battle?
How dare I utter his name in these fantasy circles?
This is a battle?
what are you doing? We have very precious franchise was just sitting back there holding up a move on sign. Just so we could waste valuable time talking about Cordero Patterson.
All right, fine.
This is an outrage.
Give me some projections on Charles Johnson.
Oh, Chuck Johnson. Chuck Johnson, over 1,000.
Okay.
8 to 10 touchdowns. Him and Kyle Rudolph are going to be the beneficiaries of Teddy Bridgewater being the number 11 quarterback this season. Like him.
Real quick on Johnson, I was crunching some numbers.
Okay.
From weeks 11 to 15 last year, he averaged 9.9 fantasy points per game. 4 receptions, and with that, and about 7.5 targets, with that, he projects to about 158 fantasy points, puts him right on that wide receiver 2 radar. That's more points than Mike Wallace had last year.
Oh, dang!
I will say this. I'm not terribly impressed with the skills of Charles Johnson.
What?
Okay.
What have you been watching?
Sorry.
No. He's not great catching the actual football. He runs okay. He runs pretty good routes. He's got great size. He's got good speed. Look, there was a game last year where he was targeted 11 times. He caught 3 balls.
That's pretty good.
That is awful.
Three passes? In an NFL game? That impresses me.
I mean, as far as batting average goes, that's not bad.
That's not bad. But in NFL reception terms, that's not great. One of those 3 catches was a touchdown. So that kind of masked his very poor effort. I don't think he's great at catching the football. And that's kind of sort of something that you need at the wide receiver position.
Not very high on Charles Johnson.
I look at him as a guy. I mean, I'm looking at him as about 65 catches, you know, topping out at about 65 catches. His ceiling right now for me is maybe 800, 850 yards. Give him, you know, 4 to 6 touchdowns.
I think that sounds about right. Are you getting excited about that?
No.
I don't want to draft that.
No.
I don't want to draft that.
I actually think Mike Wallace is going to have a decent year.
I agree. I actually agree. He's been working with Teddy Bridgewater in the offseason.
Oh, my God.
I like it.
You want to talk about somebody who's not great at catching the football? When
compared All right, we're moving on. We'll go to Carolina. The Panthers wide receiver situation. Devin Funchess versus the mighty Jericho Cotchery. Devin Funchess, 6'4", 235. I mean, we talked about a bad 40 time. He ran a 4.740 at the combine.
That's good.
Although he ran a pretty respectable 4.5. At his pro day. So that's good. You also want to talk about a guy who can't catch the ball very well. He had 20 drops over his 3 years at Michigan. Also, a horrible number. So he poses an interesting matchup problem, certainly, when you look at Kelvin Benjamin on one side, and then you got Devin Funchess on the other. It reminds me greatly of Chicago. I don't know if Devin Funchess, though, is terribly talented at actually catching the ball.
Oh, wow. That's harsh. I don't know. He seems fine. When you're talking about this this battle head to head with Jericho Cotchery, I see this more as Funchess versus Greg Olsen.
Okay.
Is who is going to get a lot of those red zone looks.
And sure. Said, he is a converted tight end, Devin Funchess.
You know, he's a big target for Cam Newton, who will look at him and say, hey, look, he's open, and then dive into the end zone himself as he takes his own one-yard touchdown plunge. Yeah, it's tough. Like you said, there's a lot of red flags there. The Panthers receivers always scare me because Olsen's in the mix.
Yeah.
Because Cam Newton does like to call his own number a lot.
Right.
You want to be tantalized by it. It seems great on paper. And you know, if you're playing a video game or something, you're like, oh, I love having these big receivers.
Right.
But in actuality, I'm not sure it's going to translate. And I've noticed as I've been doing my mock drafts, I ignore them.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot to get excited about, Marcus.
Yeah, I'm not really fired up about Funchess. I mean, I looked at last year when they drafted Kelvin Benjamin, and everybody talked about how much of a project Benjamin was. And obviously it worked out. I mean, he had some good numbers last year. But I look at Funchess as even more of a project than Kelvin Benjamin was.
The difference to me is the fact that Kelvin Benjamin, while he was in college, he caught everything.
He actually had a lot of drops in college, too.
He had some very noticeable, easy catches that he dropped. But in traffic, that dude was extremely reliable. Easy catches, yes. He had concentration problems. That, to me, was a big difference between concentration problems and actually just dropping the ball. Like, if you looked at the football bounce off of Devin Funchess' hand while he was at Michigan, it just looks bad. It wasn't – to me, when I saw Kelvin Benjamin catching or not catching the ball because he did have a lot of concentration errors – it's because he was kind of looking upfield, and he wasn't focused on receiving that pass. But in traffic, a tremendous athlete getting up and getting that ball. All right, I want to talk about the Redskins real quick. Tight end battle there, Niles Paul versus Jordan Reed. Paul listed as the starter on the first depth chart of the season. Maybe no surprise because Jordan Reed has been dealing with a knee injury. But look, Niles Paul, man, he started strong last year. He averaged 80 yards a game over his first four, threw a touchdown in there as well. Then he suffered a nasty concussion. And then from then, he split time with Jordan Reed and Logan Paulson moving forward. So Niles Paul is an interesting player, man. He put on 27 pounds this offseason, and most of it muscle. So he's got interesting upside. Alex, where do you stand on this whole battle between Niles Paul and Jordan Reed?
I'd rather take a flyer on Paul personally when it comes to late-round tight ends.
Right.
I've loved what he's put on the field. Jordan Reed's also athletic, but Paul is the one that coaches seem to be behind a little bit more. They even said it wasn't just one of those things like, oh, Reed's injured, we're going to put Paul first. They were
right.
Like, Niles Paul is great, he offers a lot. They said they're going to use both, but if you're going to take a flyer on a tight end late, why not be Paul?
27 pounds of muscle in the offseason. That's pretty good. Although, it should be noted, on Monday, he did ding up his shoulder. MRIs came back negative, which is good, but he did leave practice in obvious pain. All right, I'm going to stay with the tight end position, talk about Packers. My boy, Richard Rodgers. See, I don't want to talk about this because I feel like Richard Rodgers is getting a little bit too much pump.
You're trying to keep it on
the low. I'm trying to keep it on the low, man. But Richard Rodgers and Andrew Corliss battling for a spot. Marcus, how do you see this battle playing out?
I do think it's going to be Richard Rodgers when it's all said and done, but I think you're going to have to wait a while for that to happen. I think it's going to go back and forth. I think you're going to see Corliss still get on the field quite a bit and still get some targets. So, I do think long-term, Rodgers probably has more upside, but you talk about sleepers. I mean, he is a deep sleeper. Right?
Yeah, I'm taking him in the 16th. See, what I've been doing
is
in these mock drafts.
Is he deeper than C.J. Fedorowicz?
That's not
he
a sleeper. That's a guy who just won't wake up. That's just not.
How dare you?
Yes, wow.
That's, right. That's the next Gronk.
That's not the next
Gronk. Wasn't that Bill O'Brien's project? Fedorowicz?
Well, you know what I've been doing? Defense 13, kicker 15, and then Richard Rodgers in the 16th. In those 16-round drafts. But in 15, basically, I'm just taking him in the last round. No one even knows about Richard Rodgers.
Fantasy hipster over here.
Yeah, I know. My Moscow mule and a copper mug. Yep.
I will
twirling
say, in
a little twirly mustache.
In defense of Richard Rodgers, I follow a lot of beat reporters in general and also naturally a lot of Packers beat reporters.
Naturally.
So they tweet every play during practice, and they talked about how Rodgers made a couple nice catches from Aaron Rodgers, and they said when Corliss had a similar opportunity, dropped it.
Boom.
So it's one play, but for your boy.
Do they figure out now if you're going to be a tight end for the Packers, or they put you on special teams and practice onside kicks?
Hey, now.
Oh.
See if you can, whoever can catch that.
Oh.
Whoever can catch that.
What an unnecessary dig.
It's a legitimate question.
Oh, brutal.
Listen, also on that play, his job wasn't to catch the ball. He was supposed to block and let Jordy Nelson catch it. So
I think Aaron Rodgers job was not to go three and out in that one possession beforehand. It allowed Seattle to go and
how
get it,
dare you badmouth these Cal players?
Oh, sorry
how
about that.
Dare
that's my mistake.
That is a transgression I will not forgive. Let's get to the mail pail.
You've got mail.
Nick Sorensen at Nick Sorensen 2. I don't know who has Nick Sorensen 1, but Nick Sorensen 2.
How bummed was he?
A friend of the show. Ask a very simple question. We'll go around the horn. Melvin Gordon or Mark Ingram? Adam Rank, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Mark Ingram because he rushes for 1,000 yards every year.
No, he does not.
He's never done that.
Actually, he's never done that.
Never. I heard you walking around the newsroom being, oh, my God, he's never rushed for 1,000. Who cares? He's part of the system. He was good.
He had 9 touchdowns.
I don't see
him getting 9 next year. I don't see it.
I was trying to think. I'm like, gosh, I thought I did pretty well with Mark Ingram last year, but he wasn't spectacular.
No, he wasn't.
Well, because he got dinged up a couple times.
Dinged up
a little
bit.
The shoulder, which they were talking about in the ATN podcast.
And the hand.
Right, and the hand, right, yeah. Right. So if he only gets one of those this year.
But here's the thing. I'll say
if
this.
Only. I mean, that's the problem with Mark Ingram, right? He's always hurt. I don't get it. And he's coming off of a year where he got paid. I mean, really? I mean, you're feeling that comfortable with Mark Ingram?
Plus, and the thing with Melvin Gordon, Wisconsin running. Okay, no, I'm not doing it.
Here's the thing. You're not. Okay.
Here's the thing that legit scares me.
Okay, good.
Is the Chargers offensive line. I didn't see a lot of improvement there.
Okay.
He's not. They got Danny Woodhead there, who's their third down back, so he's going to be in a two-down situation like Ryan Matthews was. I'm not sure.
They might mix in Brandon Oliver at the goal line as well.
Yeah, there's just like a lot of factors in there where I'm not as excited about Gordon as I am with some of the other rookies.
I'll say this, James. You are right. Mark Ingram is not going to have 9 touchdowns again this year. He's going to have 10.
Oh!
I think he stays healthy. I think this offense is more set up to run the ball, at least to be a little bit more balanced than they have been in the past. And if he stays healthy and he gets 14 or 15 games, I don't see why he can't get 10 touchdowns.
The fact that they added Max Unger definitely adds to that. I just don't see it, man.
You know what this is again? He's just hating on the Saints. Yeah, doesn't like Spiller. Doesn't like
why
Breeze.
Do you
doesn't like Ingram.
I like Breeze enough.
Do you have
like
a rough
Breeze
running?
Enough. I like Breeze enough.
In
what?
The French Quarter with Sean Payton or something?
I've never been in the French Quarter. I wish I wish
have
I could.
Have you never been to New Orleans?
I've never been to New Orleans, no.
Oh, my goodness. It's a fantastic town.
I would love to get some chicory coffee and some beignets.
It's a great town.
Yeah, that's what you go for.
Stop it. All right.
I go Ingram as well.
Okay. I'm going to go Melvin Gordon all day.
All right.
All right.
Get
Austin.
Get that sandwich out of your pie hole and listen up, maggot. It's time for mail call.
Austin Hensel. Hensel 23. Maybe he's a Jordan fan. Do you think Carlos Hyde will have a breakout year this year? Gail Hart, we'll start with you.
I'm getting more and more worried about Carlos Hyde as the offseason goes on.
You think?
It sounded like the whispers were that he kind of came to training camp overweight.
Uh-oh.
Reggie Bush is there. Kendall Hunter's there. It seems like every day we read about another 49er just walking off into the sunset and like hanging out at the beach instead. So at his asking price, which is currently still like in the fourth round,
is he
maybe
the third
to fifth round?
Yeah, he's a fourth round.
I'm too scared. I'm not going to touch him there.
Marcus Grant.
Well, he makes it sound like, I mean, the way, you know, Gelhar was talking about guys walking off into the sunset, I'm envisioning the closing credits to The Incredible Hulk where
I was
just
going to say, I wish I had that drop cue.
Bill Bixby just walking down the road and stuff like that. That's kind of what it feels like. I mean, if you think he's going to break out and be like a running back one for you, a low end RB1, I wouldn't expect that. I think there's still a chance for him to be an RB2. Just keep in mind, he's probably going to be a two down back. He's going to be the guy first and second down. Then it's going to be Reggie Bush off the bench, comes in on passing downs, on third downs, and helps out in that respect. So if he can be really productive, I mean, I think he would have to average, you know, between 4.5 and 5 yards a carry to really be that guy. It's not impossible, but I'm kind of the opinion that I'm not as excited about him now as I was, say, 3 or 4 months ago.
Adam Rank.
Low side. I'm off. No, I'm good. You know what? The one thing that scares me about the San Francisco situation is that if they're bad this year, and I anticipate them not being a very good football team when compared to other professional football teams.
Thank you.
Not a lot of opportunity to run the ball
right.
And kind of grind the clock. They're going to have to be throwing an awful lot, and that really doesn't play to his game.
It kind of lends itself a little bit more to Reggie Bush. I will say this. it's a big question mark. I mean, I think, Alex, you hit it on the head, man. At a fourth, or especially at a third round draft price, which is, I'm seeing him go in the third quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, he did in one of our mocks. I think Dylan Milner, also a Niners homer from there. But
but there's a lot of Niners fans out there.
And there's a lot of people that believe in him.
But I think at that asking price, it's a little too scary. I will say the one thing, though, that is intriguing, at least to me, is, you know, I think there's kind of this presumption that Reggie Bush will be a third down guy. We really have no idea how the coaching staff is going to utilize Carlos Hyde. Maybe they just want to keep him on the field, get him those reps, and kind of build towards next year. I'm not exactly sure. We don't know enough about the coaching staff to kind of figure out how the Niners are going to utilize Carlos Hyde. But at a third-round asking price, man.
So I guess you could say we're all kind of sadly walking away from him.
Ooh, God, that's tough. It's
how
tough
far?
To do.
If he...
Wow, he found it. Making me feel sad about my football team right now. I'm going all back right. And looking up Jeep Christ in his past.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's for another podcast, probably.
The Rap Connoisseur. Billy Mansell.
You got mail, baby!
Woo! Woo! The Rap Connoisseur asks, are there any potential breakout deep wide receivers like Mike Evans, Odell Beckham last year, whose ADP isn't very high?
Wait a minute.
You all are watching.
Mike Evans and Odell Beckham were both drafted in the first round last year.
Okay, we're talking
fantasy
ADP.
Were they I thought those guys were flying off in the middle rounds last year.
A lot of people didn't draft Beckham because of his hamstring thing and the fact that he missed the first four weeks.
He was on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. I think Mike Evans last year was going somewhere in the 6th-7th round. But still, given the fact that he gave you top 10 wide receiver numbers, obviously he paid off very well. So I guess the question is breakout. Sleeper-type wide receivers. Gelhar, who do you like?
I'm going to throw this name out since we scratched this other question off, but Brian Quick, Marcus's dynasty team, as he famously said to me last season.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Why are you hating on Brian Quick? Oh, he had, for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, he was averaging 70 yards a game, and he scored 3 touchdowns in that span. They're going to need a wide receiver to emerge, and Brian Quick is the one that they are behind for doing all of that. So, we're talking undrafted, blah blah blah, Brian Quick,
or a late round guy. We'll say Brian Quick. I'll tell you right now, I'm not drafting Brian Quick. Marcus Green, give me a late round guy.
I don't want to say it because then people are going to draft him. It's going to blow everything up. Nelson Agholor.
Okay.
And the hype train is starting to pick up speed. I see tweets about how he and Bradford seem to be on the same page now in practice. I mean, we know Jordan Matthews is going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah.
But it looks like Agholor could push Josh Huff out of the way to be that number two wide receiver. And in that Eagles offense, that's a pretty good gig.
Yeah, it's not bad. Certainly. Adam Rank?
I like Nelson Agholor a lot, too. I think he's a good – for whatever reason, I know why, because he was good last year. I do like Jalen Strong down there in Houston because somebody's going to have to emerge opposite of DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
I feel like he's got some upside. That's Allen Robinson. It's another fun one.
He's getting drafted highly, though. He's
getting
going
drafted
in the 6th round.
I see him, but I see Agholor going ahead of maybe. It depends.
I think it really depends on what
I'm the one who's drafting Agholor,
right,
too. Maybe.
I think it depends on what kind of.
What about?
But I think most of the fantasy masses have not bought into Allen Robinson quite yet. I think if you're playing in more of a layman's league, I think Allen Robinson will last 8th-9th round. If you're playing with more expert types that see
it's
the potential.
I did just do an 18. Well, it's an 18, which is a sad league, I know, but it was with some of my college buddies over the weekend, and I scooped up Allen Robinson in 8th-9th round.
What about Green Beckham?
Ooh, good choice.
Somebody in Tennessee needs to be that wide receiver, and I'm over all of their guys.
See, I don't know how many years. It seems like every so often I buy into the "hey, somebody's got to catch it" theory, and that always burns me.
No,
always burns
somebody
me.
Somebody has to catch it.
That doesn't mean they have to catch it a lot.
Plenty.
They catch it every now and then.
It's a professional football team.
They've got 4 guys that run streak routes. I mean, it's hard for me to buy into any of those receivers. Plus, they got a rookie quarterback. So there you go. I love me some Jalen Strong. I love him in PPR. I think he's going to get a lot of work opposite DeAndre Hopkins. He's got great hands. He showed he was very productive at Arizona State as well.
The thing was
personally beating Marcus Grant's boys.
Remember the desperation heave
Do we have to talk about this?
Yes, we do. No. They beat USC.
I'm aware.
On a desperation heap. And that's one of my pet peeves is when people are like, they threw the Hail Mary. Now, the Hail Mary was one singular play in NFL history where Roger Staubach went back and said, I said a Hail Mary and then threw it up. So that's one play. That's like saying like, oh, he ran a ghost to the post. Or he manned an immaculate reception. No, it's one play. So it was a desperation heave. And then
Hayes Pollard stood there like he was catching a punt.
I couldn't remember his name.
Like he was catching a punt.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, boy. Love it.
Wow. Sully pointed that one out. I mean, like, I haven't had a good chance, so I guess while we were pouring it on, I thought that was the USC fight song.
I love it. All right, so this is our last mailbag question.
You've got mail.
Griffin Palmer, at Griffin Palmer 88. It's not really even a question. I guess it is. It's a quick, easy answer. When are new episodes of NFL Fantasy Live happening? I need this in my life. By the way, daily daps to you, pal. NFL Fantasy Live premieres on NFL.com starting August 17th. And on the network, NFL Network, starting September 7th. So again, August 17th online, on the network on September 7th. That's when you're going to find new episodes of NFL Fantasy Live. And oh, by the way, remember to sign up today, right now. Sign up your fantasy team, NFL.com/fantasy. Let's get to those daily daps.
This is the day.
Marcus Grant, hit me with your daily dap, son.
Well, we kind of heard it there in the little supercut there for daily daps. I got to give mine to John Stewart, man. After 16 years behind the desk there at the Daily Show?
That's what I gave it to last week.
Did you?
He did.
But it doesn't matter.
All right. Well, then
you know
we're
giving him multiple daps.
He's such a large figure. He can get multiple daps.
So, but he's like, now he officially has stepped away.
Okay.
But if not, I can do a second daily dap.
Hit me.
All right, because Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks comes back tonight.
Yeah.
The folks at Funny or Die, I guess it's old, but I saw it today for the first time. It's really funny. This parody they call Little Knockers, which is basically Hard Knocks, except with a peewee football team.
It's great.
It's great.
Marcus sent it to me this morning.
It's NSFW. It is absolutely hilarious.
So daily daps to Little Knockers.
Little Knockers.
Okay.
Yep.
Who was that? Funny or die?
It's Funny or Die. Yeah.
Awesome. I like it.
All right. For mine, I've got an audio drop for ours because this is for a little something Marcus and I went to see last week. We saw the preview screening.
Yeah. As I leave, I'm stomping, but when I come
back, boy, I'm coming straight out of Compton. All right.
So Marcus and I went to see Straight Outta Compton, which is the biopic about the rise and fall and coming back of NWA, and it was fantastic.
By the way, I got a little nervous there. I honestly thought,
where are you going with
this? Please cut out of this song soon.
Oh yeah. It was the clean version, and
okay.
Very short drop.
Okay, very
but
good.
Marcus and I went to see it, and it
good
was
movie.
Fantastic. It's really good. The performances from all the guys are great. The soundtrack obviously is great. The story is awesome. I thought they did a good job of covering as much as they could. It was a 2.5-hour movie. So
really?
I heard actually one of my friends works at Universal said the original cut was a lot longer and it was still good, but they had to pare it down so they could get
I'm actually surprised, though.
2.5 hours.
Yeah, usually for a movie like that, they try to get it to less than two.
But it flies by. Well, they got a lot. They cover pre-NWA,
right.
NWA, the breakup,
right.
And then come back at the end. I don't want to spoil everything, but it's
great.
And you
will be amazed at how much O'Shea Jackson Jr. looks like his dad.
Finally, after like an hour and a half or so, I had to lead over to Marcus, and I was like, are we sure that's not just Ice Cube in the movie right now?
I like that you said spoiler alert for a true story.
Right.
Eazy-E dies.
Hey.
No!
Hey, Mr. I Hate on the Millennials. Some people might not know.
Eazy-E dies.
You know how many people were mad when they found out the Titanic sank in the movie?
Would you stop?
It's true. No, it's true.
Actually, my niece said that.
All right, so anyways.
Go ahead, Adam Rank.
Yeah, you know, a quick point on the NWA. Akbar could not name all five members.
I do remember that.
I
remember that.
I was thinking about that this morning. I can't name the fifth guy.
Who are the four?
Okay, so Ice Cube, Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, MC Ren. I can't think of the fifth guy.
DJ Yella.
Make it a cappella.
Man. Okay.
Come on now. I was looking around for the daily daps. I was trying to decide.
Okay.
I guess I can't do the Fantasy Pros thing because that'll be. I can't talk about. Like, we live in a vacuum.
You can give a dap to.
No, I'm not.
I was saying before we gotta try.
I don't listen.
Just
the
give
shadow,
me a tap.
The shadowy
you?
League figure
yes.
has bounced by now.
Okay, got
so
it.
There's no way. I was thinking also about Josh Trank for panning his Fantastic Four movie, which is awful,
oh.
like Green Lantern level bomb. I wanted.
Did
to
you get... see it, Rank?
No. Oh, okay. It's a Marvel movie. I probably won't see it. I was thinking about Kristen Stewart, Jesse Eisenberg, who are back together again for the first time since
American
Adventureland.
Ultra.
Yeah, since their first time together since Adventureland, which was a great movie. But I'm going to go my daily dap, though, to MJD. Because we are in a, I guess, for lack of a better term, an experts league. If it was an experts league, Alex Gelhard would be in there.
Agreed.
I don't. So
there's still a chance. There's still a chance.
Yeah. I think.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I've got some candidates to throw out of the league. But
there's a chance.
Thank you. And MJD is joining this league. He is taking the spot that is being vacated by Molly Karam, who went on to the mothership, and so she had an open spot. MJD's taking it.
Yeah.
And we do our draft order based on how you finished.
This is a great story.
You finished last year.
Yeah.
And then so, okay, so there it is. So
Akbar has the first pick.
Akbar has the first pick.
It was awful last year.
And last year, they settled this with you. They made you pick last.
Yes. Like,
you're the newcomer, which to me is absolute garbage. Because
right.
Let's say the Browns were sold tomorrow.
Okay.
Next year at the draft, they're not like, hey, Browns, you have the last pick in the draft because your team. No, you occupy that spot. And for me, it wouldn't make a difference because I would still be at 7 because I lost in the semifinals. But MJD has 10. So most of the time when things like this happen, nobody will say anything.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to rock the boat.
Uh-huh.
Boom, MJD rocking the boat, saying, why do I got to pick last? Why? And you know what? I agree with him.
No, but
Money who won the league should have the last pick. Fabiano should have 9. MJD would have 8 because he's taking over the spot because Molly beat me in the quarterfinal, whatever it was. And I agree. I think that's the way it should be handled.
Maurice Jones-Drew, his email. Oh my God, unbelievable! This is a quote from his email. What type of manners did your parents teach you? How am I the guest and picking last? Shaking my head, LOL. That was amazing. What kind of manners did your parents teach you? Daily daps to Maurice
putting the
Jones
league on blast,
Drew.
And he hasn't even drafted a player yet.
I love it. My daily dap, I'm piggybacking off of you guys, man. The new Dr. Dre semi soundtrack for that. It's the album's called Compton. I mean, the dude's almost as old as Frank Gore, and he is, and he is still pumping out jams, man. The entire album, I give it a solid A-. It's not an all-time classic, but holy cow, top to bottom, it's very listenable, very musical, very lyrical. It's great. I know we've been talking about Meek Mill and Drake and all. I mean,
yawn.
And then you listen to Dre with Compton. It's unbelievable. You realize how much more musical talent this guy has got.
So does this mean we give him a pass for not having done Detox, or does this mean we have to have Detox?
If he was just a full-time producer, this world would be a better place. But you know what? He's off being a billionaire hip-hop mogul, so whatever. Anyways,
he gave us a few good tracks before he was done.
A couple.
Just a couple.
Just a couple. But yeah, no.
What are your NWA power rankings? Who is the number
that's
one?
That's for a second podcast.
Is it
all right, we're going to have to get out of here, man. Dre's number one. He's my number one draft pick.
Over MC Ren.
MC Ren, I guess that DJ Yella guy might be the last pick. Anyways, for Adam Frank, Marcus Grant, and Alex Gelhar, I'm James Cole. We're out of here. Thanks for listening.